everyone is hustling, working on the streets. They're doing things. They're using their beat up jalopies that they got down by their house or their tin shack. They're using that to be a taxi. They're doing everything they can to put money in their pockets and food on the table and shelter over their head. But they're working. They're on the streets, all over the streets, selling things. All over. Open market. That's what you call free market. And I was reading in the Mexican paper, newspaper, about how all the businessmen now are petitioning the government to stop these street vendors because they're taking away business. It's always perplexed me about capitalists that you're a staunch capitalist until you own a business. Then you're against free market economics. You don't want competition, man. Now you want it all yourself. It's amazing. It's amazing, the contradiction there. But I wanted to use Mexico City as an example of how this country tells you about the other places in the world, and you think that you're well off in a democracy. 42% of your income goes to government in taxes. In the history of the world, everyone, including the serfs of the feudal times, they rebelled and had revolutions when the tithe of their monarchies demanded up to 25%. When they had to give up 25% of their hard-earned income to a government, they rebelled. You guys are setting, or your folks, are setting history, a precedent. You're the first country that is allowing yourself to be robbed blind by your own government. 17% more than anybody else in history. Everybody else rebelled. Got rid of those governments that were oppressing them. I'm talking about the serfs, man. Welcome to the reservation. I mean, these are facts. Blame the Japanese. Point the finger. Point the finger at the Mexicans. Point the finger at the Japanese. Point it at the Taiwanese, at the Thais. Just start pointing fingers all over. Nobody's pointing a finger at Germany or at England, which owns more land than all the other countries combined in this country. People from England own more, they own more businesses in America than the Japanese. But nobody's pointing a finger at England. And you can get these facts in the worst newspaper in America. You just read it. It's in USA Today, in a little corner. Every once in a while, you get these facts, man. Welcome to the reservation. You're getting poorer and poorer. You know, the United States of America, economically speaking, is a banana republic now. It amazed me in Mexico City, a city of 21 million. 21 million. What's New York City have? 8 million? No homeless, man. And they're in a temperate climate. They never wear coats. Ever, man. But I go to New York City often in the wintertime, in the dead of winter. And it's homeless. In every neighborhood now, in every neighborhood. There used to be exclusive neighborhoods where they weren't, you know, just a few short years ago, but now the homeless are in every neighborhood. The East 50s, up on the West End, they're everywhere. Columbus Circle. And it's sad. This is also, statistically speaking, the most violent country in America. The most violent. A democracy? A democracy is the most violent? Per capita, the United States leads the world in the percentage of population in prisons. This is a democracy?
You've got a constitution. You've got a Bill of Rights. Then why do you have the IRS? Why do you have the FDA? Why the FCC? Or anybody or anything else in the alphabet? The BIA. You know? I call it the Bureau of Idiots Anonymous, probably more well known as the Bureau of Indian Affairs. There isn't any need for those bureaucracies. Not if you live in freedom. Not if you can, if you get laid off, you can turn your car into a taxi, or you can cook off your stove and sell your food out on the streets. You can't do that in this country unless you do it illegally, because you don't live in the proper zone. You don't have the proper license. You're not following the rules and regulations. You live in a democracy. You're supposed to vote and have representative government. Well, why then are you sitting there letting this country pass every year? Over 90% of the laws passed in these years are not repealable. In other words, you're living in almost totalitarian state. Over 90% of the laws passed every year in this country are unrepealable. That means the executive branch, with its rules and regulations and every one of its agencies, its bureaucracies, passing those rules, they have the force and effect of law. And if you don't believe that, then check the latest Supreme Court decisions in any year since the Rehnquist took over as Chief Justice, and even before that, where government is getting more and more precedence. Now you don't have the right to pray if it interferes with any agency of government. That's a fact. I know I was involved in that struggle along with every spiritual belief that is organized in this country, because they filed amicus briefs in our Supreme Court fight for religious freedom. That was about Peyote, where two guys were fired because they belonged to the Native American Church in Oregon. They wouldn't give them unemployment benefits to the LA Supreme Court. They ruled against us, even though every major, including Jewish faith, filed amicus briefs with the court. So Congress passes less than 10% of the laws in this country. Those are the laws that are repealable, provided you follow the processes that are necessary to petition your government for redress. Welcome to the reservation. I'm trying to buy some land. Right now I'm involved in trying to buy some land. My first time I'm trying to buy land in my life. Everywhere I go, you don't get water rights, you don't have mineral rights, you don't have any rights. And then I find out that for the rest of my life, I have to pay rent. And then my heirs have to pay rent on that land. And it's called property taxes. Who was the idiot in your history that allowed that to happen? I don't understand how anybody could allow themselves, their property, to be taxed, man. That means you don't own it. You or your parents own the property, man. You miss some payments on property tax, and the government owns it. This is free market. This is democracy. That you pay rent to the government for eternity, and you don't have mineral rights. You don't have water rights. They can come in any time under eminent domain and take your property. I know, because I was in Los Angeles a couple of years ago fighting with a mixed neighborhood of blacks, Asians, and Hispanics. And we marched and marched because a local school had condemned some homes to expand a parking lot based on eminent domain. Welcome to the reservation. Now understand the Six Nations. When the French in 1597 were in a military campaign against the Six Nations, and they had the Huron Confederacy, there was a French philosopher with that campaign, that military campaign. And he began to notice that among the Hurons and among the Iroquois Confederacy, they had this way of life that allowed for individual freedom and yet nationalism at the same time. And that people were truly free in these societies. So he asked the Hurons about it, and the Huron, who were working with the French, were trying to explain it. He went back to France and wrote up about it, wrote it. Other French philosophers followed. More was written. The American Indian became heroes in Europe. Rousseau is the most famous, who wrote about the noble red man. And then, of course, that had to change because the American Revolution happened, the United States Constitution, the French Revolution happened. It was sweeping the world, this idea of individual liberty based on representative government. And the United States of America was founded. The Bill of Rights ensued. And in 1988, October of 1988, the United States Congress, both houses, unanimously passed a resolution thanking the Iroquois Confederacy for its major input into the development of the United States of America and its Constitution. So you see, this country doesn't have founding fathers who are not only racist, but sexist. In reality, you have founding mothers, and primitive ones at that. The clan mothers of the Six Nations Confederacy. The clan mothers of all the Indian people. They're the ones who choose the leader. They're the ones who can get divorces. They're the ones who have the strength, who prevent incest in anything, in any strata of society. They're the ones who are responsible. They're the true founders, the clan mothers of the Iroquois Confederacy, are the true founders of the United States of America. So you have founding mothers, not some idiot Eurocentric males, man, who wore powdered wigs, fluffy blouses, pedal pushers, silk stockings and high heels. They ain't my daddy. That ain't my daddy, man. Because when I was in the first grade, I was told that that guy on the dollar bill and up there on the wall of the school auditorium was the father of my country. I looked at that guy. That ain't my daddy. Just like Columbus, you know. In our society, we have what is called a contrary, a clown. It's to represent the other facet, the yang of the yin, or the yin of the yang, okay? You represent the other side, flip side of the same coin in life. And that's what Columbus was. He's a contrary. It shows you the ridiculousness of Eurocentric male chauvinism, okay? He traveled west to go east. He didn't know where he come from. Nobody knows. The Spanish have claimed him. The Portuguese have claimed him. And he didn't tell anybody. The only thing we know is that all he ever spoke was Spanish and all he ever wrote in was Spanish. He died in disgrace. He's a visionary. Y'all are celebrating this clown? Come on, man. He's half a world off course. And believe me, you can't be more off course than a half of a world. The ultimate mistake. The ultimate navigational error. And you're letting your government spend $600 million of your money on this clown. Amazing. Welcome to the reservation. Sounds like the Bureau of Idiots Anonymous has permeated the United States of America. By the way, it was the BIA in 1824 that introduced sleaze into government. I kid you not, man. Research it. The first corruption in United States government history was discovered and exposed in the Bureau of Indian Affairs. And now, you know, I could not become a Republican because I would be afraid I might get elected or hired to work for the White House. I mean, every Republican administration, you get indicted, convicted, and sent to prison, man. I'd be scared to death if I was a Republican. And then those sleazos over on the Hill, man. The demo. I mean, a week doesn't go by and they're doing something perverted. You know? The Keating Five et al. Welcome to the reservation. Now, you know, one of the problems is the lack of recognition of the sacred colors. You know, Western civilization has appropriated many things from around the world and utilized it to the advantage of themselves. I find no fault in that. Good for them. However, had they done it with respect, I wouldn't be here tonight. And neither would you all. You'd be home with your families. You know, the American Indian people of the Western Hemisphere, we have contributed 60% of the world's foodstuffs, over 70% of the medicines. We enabled Europe to enter into the Industrial Revolution through the mining of our gold and silver, which allowed the common person in Europe to have means of monetary exchange for the first time in their history. Because prior to the exploitation and exploration of the Indian people in the Western Hemisphere, the only people who were being exploited and expropriated for gold and silver were the Africans, and they weren't producing enough there for money to reach all over Europe. So the only people who had gold and silver and monetary benefits in Europe, I could go on and on and on, but if you want to find out more, read Jack Weatherford's Indian Givers. There are many still the most advanced features of architecture in the world are found in our cities. The modern day mining methodology developed from our techniques. On and on and on. No one's ever said thank you. We're the only color of the human race not allowed to participate in the family of nations, the red people of the Western Hemisphere. By the way, there was no country called India when Columbus wrote una gente indios, which translated means a people in with God. The English bastardized those two Spanish words, indio, indios, into Indian. All right? It was after we were being called Indians in the Western Hemisphere that India and the East Indies became colonized. If you don't believe it, look on the maps of 1492. India was then called Hindustan. I just wanted to get that out real quickly here. But if there's an entire race of people not allowed to participate in the family of nations, are we civilized? Are we indeed following our spiritual directions as practiced every Sunday in your churches or synagogues? Our temples, you know? I mean, think about it. The exclusion of an entire race of people. With that exclusion, then it's impossible. It's impossible to apologize, but more importantly, it's impossible to say thank you. Because if a people aren't included, who are you going to say thank you to? You know? If you live in a penthouse, are you going to say thank you to the farmer down in Georgia or Wyoming or Maine? Nobody says thank you anymore, huh? You have to have a society that can say thank you. It's simple. Life is not a complicated proposition. There's responsibility and there's irresponsibility. Irresponsibility allows for 42% of your income to be ripped off. Don't pay it. And see how fast you land in debtor's prison. How scared are you of your government? How much fear do you have? So much fear you can't say thank you to your neighbor, to a union, to a farmer, to a bricklayer, to everybody that contributes to your well-being, to my land, the Mother Earth. You can't say thank you to our grandmother, the Earth, which, by the way, Western science has now ascertained. In the early 80s, they drilled a hole in Greenland, of all places, for miles into the Earth. And after studying it, for the data coming up from that hole, for 2 years, they have ascertained that this is a living organism in space, not just an orb rotating around the sun. Respect your mother, and she will take care of you. That's a basic teaching in any responsible family. In any responsible family. Just think of a society that requires you cannot harm another human being. And it's feasible today. It's feasible today. That means the air you breathe has to be sacred. So if you have unlimited liability without government interference, then you can force the technology to be invented that will clean up the air, because they can't dirty it in the first place. They can't dirty the water. They cannot harm you. A society that cannot harm another individual. Now, if you want to harm yourself, that's a different proposition. But you got a constitution and a bill of rights that is on that path. You've already got the tools. So instead of fighting one another, you know, it just kills me, man. So you want to continue with the Demopublicans to the wharf? And the result? What's the result, man? Species suicide. Species suicide. Y'all thought it was going to be a holocaust of nuclear weaponry. You know? That's what you thought of just a few short years ago. In 84 and 85, under the Reagan Empire of Evil accusations, the school children, your age, man, were surveyed, and you were afraid of the nuclear holocaust. So you've got to understand, you got the tools, and you got the heritage from my people to be free. Then you don't have to fight one another while the big boys put the money in their pocket, you know. Get you to hate the Japanese and the Koreans et al., the Arabs. What's the campaign this year, you know? So I suggest you do something. Or what Chief Seattle said in 1854 is going to come true. And he said, continue to contaminate your bed, and one night you will suffocate in your own waste. He also said, tribe follows tribe and nation follows nation. It's like the waves of the sea. It's the order of nature. And regret is useless. Your time of decay may be distant, but it will surely come. For even the white man's God who walked and talked with him as friend with friend could not escape our common destiny. We may be brothers after all. We shall see. Thank you. We talk.
You were just listening to Russell Means, Welcome to the Reservation. This never-before-broadcast program was recorded at Bowdoin College in Maine in 1992. Russell Means was a renowned activist for indigenous rights. An Oglala Lakota, he was born on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation in South Dakota. He was a founding member of the American Indian Movement, AIM, and its first national director. He passed away in 2012. This program is produced by Alternative Radio, based in Boulder, Colorado. We're an independent nonprofit in our 39th year. We're supported solely by individuals just like you. We feature such voices as Noura Erekat, Winona LaDuke, Nick Estes, Arundhati Roy, and Chris Hedges. And we have a series of programs with Russell Means. To access our complete audio and book catalog, just call us 1-800-444-1977. That's 1-800-444-1977. To access our complete audio and book catalog, just go to our website, alternativeradio.org. Again, our website where we are podcasting, alternativeradio.org. For copies of today's program, Russell Means, Welcome to the Reservation, and for Roxanne Dunbar Ortiz's classic book, An Indigenous People's History of the United States, call us 1-800-444-1977. Again, 1-800-444-1977. Or you can order on our website, alternativeradio.org. MP3s and PDFs are free of charge. Just call us 1-800-444-1977. Joe Ritchie is our general manager and editor. I'm David Barsamian. Thank you for listening.